All right, Father, we come to you again and ask you to help us in our Bible study this week. We're so grateful for the preserving of your precious word that we may study the things that God has documented. That means they're very important for us to learn. And dear Father, we thank you for giving men of yours the ability to look at the scriptures that is inspired and put it together in the form of individual books that we may have the book, the Holy Bible, Old and New Testament, to understand God's plan and purpose and be able to help us put it together systematically so we could understand from Genesis to Revelation what God's doing and even how it applies to our particular day until the Lord comes back for his church. Bless us tonight now as we study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we looked at the first nine. We're going to look at the last one tonight. And the first commandment that God gave in Exodus 12 was what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two? No graven images. Number three, don't take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now notice the first four has to do vertically towards God. Now the next six is horizontally towards each other. The first one after the fourth one, number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, number seven, commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, bear false witness. And now that's where we ended up a few weeks ago. Tonight, the tenth one we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And, of course, this is, thou shalt not covet. Now, this is a very interesting law, because as you look at this, you look at the first four and you see it is vertical towards God. You look at the last six and you see that it's horizontally towards human beings or to each other as far as this life is concerned. Now, this is relationship, the last six is a relationship between us and each other as far as human beings are concerned. The commandment of the greatest of the horizontal commandment for sure is this one. And the reason for that, you don't find the don'ts in this like you do the others. But it's very, very important. And Jesus summed it up in Mark. We'll look at that a little bit later. This has become what they call the catch-all commands of that is actually in this particular law. Other philosophies, for instance, deal with basic don'ts. But again, you don't see anything in this. We need victory over covetousness. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, we don't think about that much. Because we don't have the ability sometimes to realize, personally, when we are coveting things. It's one of the things you can't measure outside as far as like you can the others. And we'll look at a few of those thoughts either tonight or next week. Again, this here is the root of why we do things. First of all, if thou shalt not covet, what does it mean? Some people say this that it's talking about desires. Thou shalt not have desires. Well, if that be the case, then we better all be very careful because there's not a one here don't have desires of different things. You didn't go to work because you just wanted to. You went because you had to, and the desire to work in a work where you work at is going to have to be there. If you don't have a desire to, you won't get up and go to work in the morning, and then 2 or 3 days, you won't have a job. So desire is good to some degree, but it's when it's not, when it's abused, is when it brings us problems in this life. There is a place for desire in our life, and God knows that. Again, without proper desire, we will not accomplish much in this life. Without proper desire, I wouldn't study as hard as I do. Without proper desire, you wouldn't do the things, many things that you do in life. Everything we call success stems from some type of desire towards a goal that was set in life. Desire causes things. Capitalism is desire, comes from desire. When you look at such things as work or eat or drink or social relationships, these are things that are created by desires. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. And let's read in chapter 9. I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he's talking about this thing of what the gospel, how people who preach the gospel live by the gospel. And he says in verse 9, for it's written, he said, in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or set he it altogether for our sakes? Now, isn't it amazing? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in about 59 or 60 AD, and he said what God wrote back there in Moses' day was also could be for our sake when it comes to this particular thought in taking care of those of God's house and God's work. He said, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. That's where desire comes in. Guy goes out and plows the field. He's hoping he's going to have a crop. And he becomes partakers of that hope. That's where desire is concerned about life. So desire causes you to work hard with a dream. I don't guess there's any young person ever got out and got a job, didn't take that job for the purpose of having somewhat of a dream, hoping to have something maybe better than the mother and dad had. There was a goal that was set. Sometimes they start and don't make that goal, and they change jobs. Desire, then, is not really a bad thing. But on the other hand, what can happen when it turns to be bad? And that's the thing about covetousness. Desire, we all desire spiritual gifts. I'll tell you this, God will not give you a spiritual gift if you don't desire it. And how you desire it, so you use it. All of us have spiritual gifts. There's going to be people get to heaven one day, didn't use their spiritual gift, and in turn, not getting reward for that. Because any allotment that God gives out in measure of faith for gift is going to have to end up being used for God for it to benefit individuals. The Bible teaches us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They say that Buddha says if we could eliminate all desire, we'd eliminate evil. Yet on the other hand, we see Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What a difference in the philosophies of people when it comes to divine truth, when it comes to humanistic thinking in this life. So covetousness is a desire, but it's when a desire becomes unlawful. It's when a desire goes beyond just to meet an immediate goal. And then it begins to trample on others. And of course, he gave us a little bit about this, about a man's wife and his field and so forth, things like that. So then it's not wrong for a man to desire a house. It's not wrong for a man to desire a wife. It's not wrong for a man to desire a car. It's not wrong for a man to desire a pet or anything in this world that is offered to us. It's not wrong for us to desire that, as long as we don't become greedy and begin to trample on others to get it. But it is wrong for us to desire another man's wife. It is wrong for us to desire another man's car. It is us, that's where this comes in. It is us for it wrong when we begin to desire something that someone else has to the place that we want that. Not just equal to that, but we want that. And that's the reason God put it this way on this one when he wrote it, had it to be written out. He talked about those things in Exodus chapter 20. He said in verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, and so forth. In other words, to desire these things is not necessarily wrong until greed comes in and you trample over someone to get it, or you try to take from someone else because you can't get it on your own yourself, you see. So again, the level of desire plants the seed of willingness in one's heart. And the willingness to go so far as to hurt someone or to literally damage or destroy someone in this life, kill someone, it's like desire running a rampage without control. It moves beyond just to have, but to injure to have, to hurt to have, to even destroy to get what it wants. It's interesting that God says a few words that has so much meaning to it. And sometimes few words are said and we look at them and overlook what is behind what's been said. And that's what happens to a lot of the world today, especially in the age we're living in now. There's not much reading of the scriptures at all. And we will read about anything someone talks about us, how we can get ahead. Probably this particular commandment is one that is broken most by a lot of people and don't even realize it's happening because we don't, we have governed it to a place where we're at, and we have blinders on, and we can't see no further than where we're at this time. So covenant is normal, is a normal desire grown wrong. And God helps us balance that in this particular life that we may please Him and also be satisfied when it comes to the things that we have in this life. And the unbalanced error of the human spirit is what we call original sin. So covetous is literally the root of the carnal mind. It's the inner principle of sin that works out when it's running out of control in someone's life. And of course, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he talks about when in times past you walk according to the course of this world. That's where covetous sets in. He goes on and talks about according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, he says, that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our way of life, in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Jesus has quickened us, made us alive, that we're in turn, we are to reckon ourselves dead to the old life, that whereas we can control this, before we could not. Man thinks he could, but he can't. He can't because his flesh is satisfied, and when his flesh is satisfied, he's satisfied. On the other hand, the flesh cannot be satisfied, or if it tries to satisfy itself out of the will of God, there's a new creation inside that has to be satisfied first. And when you have peace of God, and then or have peace with God, so you have peace of God, if you don't have the peace of God, then something is wrong, and the flesh cannot be happy in a situation like that because it's running rampage away from God. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit living in us that helps us in turn govern our lives through His Word, where in turn makes us real happy. Have you ever seen people say they have everything this world, the flesh could offer, and they're not happy? And I guarantee you and I both have said, boy, if I could just have so and so, I'd be happy. Said, not me, preacher. You know better, because there's always, as I heard one fellow say one time, since he had as much riches as he had, how much would he want? He said, just a little more. There's always just a little more, just a little more, just a little more in life. So covenant is a defect in kind of our direction. It's like a defect in the power of steering. It pulls us towards a wrong misalignment. The inner carnal of nature that pulls us is the I won't, I will. It's the very same thing that caused Satan, called Lucifer, to rise up and try to dethrone God. I will become like the Most High God. I will rise. I will dethrone him. We see in the prophet of Isaiah in the Old Testament. So again, the inner carnal nature that pulls us that way. Another practical word for the covetous is simply greed. But we don't put that what it does. We don't do that, and yet it's there. Greed over what? Greed over money, greed over sex, greed over power, praise, approval, status, authority. This is a universal problem. And yet, the command seems so small because it's never in. How many has ever heard anybody emphasize the commandment and go in detail what's behind it rather than just what you see on the surface at this time? This is normal. Every culture has a proverb of sort about covetousness. Everyone. For instance, the English, you've heard this, and all of us heard this. You may not realize it, but it's just a type of proverb in our language. It says, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You ever heard that? Get over there, and it'll look greener where you came from. We just never satisfy. Another one said, man killed the goose that laid the golden egg. You ever heard that before? The Scottish one had, a Scottish proverb, covetous man never has enough till his mouth is filled with mold. I never heard that before. Hindus say, mention money, even a corpse will open his mouth. Business, you hear that all for Wall Street. Business, follow the money. Proverb, follow the money. You can find out a lot of things if you're following the money. So the subject hits every level of life we have, even into the church you are living in today. And the amazing thing about it is sometimes it's hitting us and we don't even realize what is happening at the time either. So again, we even see this concept in children. What do you see? Here's a child playing in a playpen, and he's got a toy playing with it. And he sees another child over here with a toy playing with it. What's he going to do? Say, boy, I'm so glad I got my toy. I just play with it. No, he's going to want that toy, right? Somebody had no children yet, I don't reckon. And here's the thing about it, this. If he's got a toy or she's got a toy and she's not or he's not playing with it, let another child come and get and try to play with it. They won't play with it for a solid month. But I guarantee you, if another child gets it, they'll want it right then. You see what happens when you don't know and have not the power to resist? And that, by the way, we're just like that when it comes to things. And you know what I said? We all are. It is something that has to be looked at. And when God made this commandment here, what an amazing, amazing statement as we looked at the last commandment at this time. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness. Watch this. And the last he said, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Isn't that amazing? Go look in Colossians 3, 5, you'll find that. Covetousness, God says, is idolatry. Wonder why? Because we get so take up in it that we almost worship it to get it. And any time thing gets between us and God becomes like idolatry to us at that time. And so again, our heart was created to be satisfied not by things. There's nothing wrong in having things. But our hearts can't be satisfied by things. It must be satisfied by God. God is the one who satisfies the innermost parts of our heart. This allows things to take a place of God in our hearts if they satisfy us more than God does. God says, hear this. You go to Matthew 6. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. God said, watch it now. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Greed says, seek the kingdom of things. And when you get beyond the normal desire and move into that which is without control, greed takes over. And there's been many a time things have taken place in society simply because of this one commandment. No one ever thought about breaking this 10th commandment at that time. Most commandments are practical in the do's and the don'ts. But this 10th commandment strictly is within the heart. It deals with the attitude of how we do. In fact, hey, I can't look at any of you tonight and see if you and say that you've committed covetousness, but God can. You can't look at me and tell. There's something you can't tell. No one. The others you can tell. If you kill someone, sooner or later someone will find out about it if they didn't already found out about it. If you murder someone, if you rob someone, these are things that you can see, the evidence of that. But this is something from the heart. And there's some people right now in your mind probably say, you know, I know so-and-so where I work at. That's what they did. They coveted my job or coveted a job I wanted, and they did dirty things to get that job. And by the way, people will do that. Do you know that? You don't think people undermine you to pick a job? Everybody's, hey, if there's a job open somewhere or another, there's more than one person trying to get it. You thought you were the only one, didn't you? What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's a place we live. We don't think about it that way, though, because we never looked at that just like we're looking at it tonight. And I hope God will help us realize that God gives us a peace and gives us something that helps us conform to the image of God's Son, which in turn honors God. And God said, when we honor Him, He will bring peace between us and men when we honor Him. We may not get the job, but we get the peace. I think about this past week, it's amazing what just a little few words somewhere would do. My wife was at a place, and I had a brother walk up to me from way out of another city. And he said, Dr. I really want you to know, my dad met you down when I was down on the East Coast in a service. He met you down there, and he said that after I talked to him and got ready to leave, at that time, I said, let's just have prayer together. And we prayed, a group of us prayed together. And he said that when we got in the car to go home that particular night, he said that my dad asked me, son, he said, would you take me to hear Preacher Ennis preach one day before long? He said, I sure will, Dad. And I said, brother, that honored me, brother, for to say that. And then tears came in his eyes. He said, but he died before I took him. You never know what a tender word is going to say to someone. Now, you know I'm not that great a preacher, but that to me, that blessed my heart to know that here's a fellow asked that, and he was going to do it. But hey, you never know how long you're going to live. He died quicker than anyone thought at the time. So here we are. How do we stop this? The first key to balance your heart is to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if surrendering is not talk. Surrender is action. We need the new birth, and we need to produce new outlooks and values in life, and that comes through growth as a child of God. The Apostle Paul surrendered his life after he read the Lord on the road to Damascus. He surrendered his ambition. He surrendered his education. He surrendered his ability, his keen mind. He declared in Philippians 4:13, now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am in, he said, to be content. I've not learned that yet. I'm trying, but I've not learned that yet. Did this mean that Paul had laid down all his ambitions for growth? Does this mean he didn't have any desires at all? Absolutely not. We know that because he said, again, in another place in the Scripture, in Philippians, I believe it was, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. That's a goal. That's a desire. That's not greed. He also said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer is to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. That was a goal. That wasn't something out of greed. He also said in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The question, I guess, comes up as who is the boss of our life? It's either us individually or it is our desires in this life. Total surrendering is that we surrender our will to the Father. And to do so, God can use us for His glory under those circumstances. Turn with me to Mark just a minute, if you will. In chapter 12, got about 10 minutes. Let's look at something here. It's interesting. These 10 commandments are listed a couple places, and you have to, I told you to begin when we started, you had to read those places, but here's an interesting thing that is asked about Christ in consolidating these commandments together. When asked which is the greatest commandment, Jesus Christ summarized these in these verses. Watch what he said. In verse 28, he says, the scripture said, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all, or which is probably the best of the commandments? And Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a tremendous statement. It didn't say, well, you can think about loving him. It didn't say just love him. What did it say? What did it say? Love the Lord first with all what? All thy heart. All thy heart. That means there's no other place for anything else that would take us away from God. And then he said, and with all thy soul, had to do with the mentality and emotions, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, that is the first commandment. Now, do you wonder why the Lord Jesus said that when you look at the first four has to deal with the Lord? Because if that's in place like it should, we're not going to have any trouble with the rest. No, sir, there won't be a bit of trouble with the rest. Watch again. He says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, these 10 are specifically, and we've been much looking at them, But he said when you get right down to it, these two priorities will engulf the whole thing. God in his rightful place, and then love the neighbor as thyself. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment, love of God and neighbor does not contradict the Ten Commandments. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he wrote, the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Look with me in Romans chapter 13 for just a moment. And God gave him the ability to, in Romans chapter about 13, verse 8 and 9. Here's what he said. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We find teachers that if you're offended in one place, you're guilty all. But he said here, Paul said, that for he that loveth another fulfills the law. For this, he says, look again. In verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this sin, namely, what's this? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. To sum up, all of those is you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit them. You're not going to break the others if it's done like it should be done. So the Lord... your God, but I love with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Now, John has hit this on the head. Paul hit it on the head too. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, of course, he goes a little further and he talks about this in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. So, covetousness is what leads to disaster in people's life and don't even realize. You can't even measure. You don't even know. Sometimes when it happens, because it looks like a natural thing. It's there, I can get it. If I can get it, I have it. If I got it, certainly God must be pleased with it. It looks like a normal desire. Do we have the spiritual ability to understand what a normal desire is and what one goes beyond normal? I don't know that we do all the time. Sometimes situations, circumstances causes a normal desire to be more than just normal because we want to get out of a situation somewhere or another. Most of the trials, and here's the thing, please hear this. I believe that most of the trials that we go through in this particular life, which this society is passing through, stems directly from God trying to stifle our covetousness for our own good and for the good of others. I believe many times we go through things because somewhere or another we've gone beyond the limit and something separated us and God, and it's simply coveted of something and we don't even realize. We can't measure it. We've not been able to measure it. And God stifles somehow or another to get us back to realignment again, like the power steering of a car gets us back in realignment again so we can put our priorities where they ought to be so God will be honored again. And by the way, he has a right to do that. He's God. He does that. There's been many times. I just don't think that God allows things to happen. Just let them happen. I think there's sometimes we go through things. And one thing is for sure, if you and I are put through a test of any kind, you can make sure that God's going to see that we come out at the best end of that thing. Dr. Lee talked the other night about faith. There's no way in the world we're going to lose just because we go through a trial. We're just not going to do it. We have the promises of God. And by the way, money can't buy those promises. Amen. You just can't buy them at all in this life. So fad and fashions were encouraged in everything in this life, and it gets us to want it. Comes to a car, creating a desire, the year, the model. It comes to new products we see. You ever see that? Ladies, you ever see? Well, I'd like to have one of them. How many exercise pieces of equipment you got do you want and you got it didn't use it one time? You'd be surprised. You say, boy, you know, I could lose 10 pounds in a week if I had that. And you get it and use it one time. So good grace, that don't work. We want it because someone has told it works. And we find out it doesn't work at that time, you see. These products, certain amount of inflation has been tolerated in the last few years to keep the economy rolling along. It's fueled in partly by credit and other things. And look what's happened. No one, people knew that there was, things were going to happen, but But then things don't happen as fast as it was. Ladies and gentlemen, would you at least share with me this? Probably the big thing that got us in the trouble in our nation was greed. And that greed is covetousness. I heard a fellow talking about making $10 million. He was a pizza delivery man. And they got him somehow or another one of these scams. And that's what it was. At the time, it wasn't called that, but it's what it was, selling these houses and getting people to sign up for them, no down payment, and so forth. And over, he sold a number of houses within like 2 years, and he became a multimillionaire. $10 million, went from a pizza man to over $10 million in 2 years in selling houses. I wonder where he's at today. I'll be honest with you, I'm not hard, but he needs to be back driving a pizza truck again is what he needs to be. You say, well, he took advantage of something. Yes, but greed did that. There's a lot of folks lost everything they had when he got wealthy because they could not make the payments on those houses that they got at that time. So I'll close with this, and next week we'll finish it. Hear this commandment, this 10th commandment. Covetousness is a craving for personal and earthly benefits, no doubt about that. And it is a list of, it's lust or desire for things. People set their hearts on things. We're people. We all do that. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I'd love to have. And I'm honest. By the way, there's a lot of things you'd love to have. You say, preacher, not me. I bet you if you had a chance to get it, you'd love to have it. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't just love to have it, you'd get it. Amen? We are brought up in an age that it's there. You can get it. It's not impossible. Work hard, I'll do these things, and it's there. You can get it. And no one has a right to keep you from getting it. They say maybe as long as it's legal, but even that sometimes they do it's not legal. People become envy and jealous of others who seem to have an advantage in life. Covenant is the act of focusing and persisting in pursuing things and nothing get in the way. And I just list a few things: property, possession, success, esteem, status, fame, popularity, position, personal appearances, or some forbidden goal in life. And that's what God is warning Israel about at this particular time. Would you look with me in Luke, and I promise this is the last verse. Before I just made a statement, I promise you now. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 12 with me, verse 15. You know this by heart. And Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Why, Lord? Why, dear Jesus, would you say that? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now, isn't it interesting? He didn't say consisteth in things which he possesseth. He said in the abundance of things. You know, Jesus knows there's things we need. There are some things we have to have. But he said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. How true that is. Now, there's some Old Testament men that gives us the formula for covetousness. Now, we'll look at that next week, and we'll be through, and then we'll move on to something new. But there is a formula. It's found in the Old Testament where there's about a direction of four things that happens for covetousness. And it also happens for goals. It can happen for goals. It can happen for desire. But to not have control of that desire can make it be a lot worse, whereas God himself is not pleased, and therefore we can't please him, and we have to suffer some consequences for that, I believe. I know this. You can't break God's law. You just cannot break God's law without suffering the consequences. Now, we live in age today because we have been so blessed, we think we don't look at the consequences. We don't look at it. We got other names for it. I mean, we've got the world telling us what to call certain things that happen. There was one time that people walked with God so close when something happened, they looked for what could be done to, if it need correction for the purpose that they could kind of prioritize their life again, that where would God be for us. But in our day, we got a name for everything. We move sin out and put other names in there for that. But there is a formula. and we'll look at that next week, that where tells us how this happened. And one of the places Achan in over the Old Testament with Joshua, and we'll see that next week. Father, please open our hearts to understand these truths. And dear Father, we know these. We can't do these things unless we know them, and then when we hear about them, help us be on guard. Lord, we just never know when one of these will rise up somewhere or another. Just help us be able to take inventory of our life, and Father, as we look at those things, be sure with the help of the Holy Spirit of God that we don't fall in a trap and suddenly something that is a normal desire becomes covetousness, which is a type of greed that can lead to idolatry, which in turn would cause us to put our focus on things rather than on God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.